You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. Talking with Mark Berquist, the superintendent of schools here at the Hayward Lakes area. And good morning, Mark.
Hi, good morning.
Yeah. So I guess once a month, we just kind of want to get an update from the school district and what's happening in the various buildings with the different grade levels, all the way up to the top at the school board and what things are happening with the school board. Anything to report for there?
This is kind of our slow part of the year. School board, sure. We have a little bit less going on. We did have some call it board development, where we brought in somebody to kind of go through some of our open meetings requirements to make sure that we're staying on board. You know, every few years we do end up with a new board member or two, and make sure that everyone's understanding of what those requirements are and that we're meeting everything with postings and how we run our meetings. So that was pretty good. We did that a few days ago. So that's kind of the big board update for now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, geez, you got, at the time that we're talking, we got teachers in the building now. We're going to get open house coming up here for all the schools.
Yeah, so we're in that first staff development portion of our year, where we have a week or two where the kids aren't quite back yet. We're getting our staff in, trying to go through some of our initiatives, give them a vision of where we're headed this year, which is going to end up being pretty similar to past years. New staff has been in. Actually, today is our first day with our full regular staff, and so we met this morning and went through our stuff, but some of those initiatives that we're looking at and in service this year, we had an ALICE training coming up where we bring in law enforcement and talk about our situations in emergencies. We're testing buildings to make sure that emergency response is where it needs to be. So those are two big pieces, safety and security. We also have most of our coaches go through either an every other year process on being CPR certified. Okay. So that's a piece we run through our in-service training.
Does that include the AEDs in the building?
Yeah. So when our coaches get certified, they, I believe, have AED training as well as the CPR portion.
Sure.
Another thing that we're kind of looking at, we're offering some AI training this year to staff. So that's becoming something that's, you know, impacting everyday life on a lot of people. And how is that going to impact our education here in Hayward? So,
Are there tools that you're providing? Are there tools that you're providing staff in the AI realm for detection and homework, or how does that, you know, or just training on what to look for, what they're seeing?
Well, from the outside looking in, we have a lot of people that would think, hey, AI, going to have a student do a paper, and boy, they shouldn't be having AI write their paper. And that's just one small piece of this AI component. Yeah, we do have ways that we can test that. It'll submit a report. You're 100% AI or 72 or whatever.
Yeah.
But that, again, is a super small piece. There are other things that I guess I wouldn't have thought about until someone explained it to me. So as we try to reach each one of these students kind of where they're at, we can plug stuff into an AI generator and say, hey, I want you to create, you know, a story for seven different kids on these seven different topics, and instead of the teacher having to go through and write a story. There are pieces from an educational standpoint that we go, holy buckets, this is a benefit to us.
Yeah.
And, you know, it can create things for us to make things just more unique to each learner.
Yeah. That's interesting, because it's such a complicated topic, and what do you allow in the school, or what don't you allow in the school? And then, you know, how do you teach kids to use AI in a, you know, ethical manner for, you know, the workplace?
Yeah, and AI is not going away. It's going to be with us to stay. So how do we
just
teach?
Just like computers back in the 80s. They're here to stay.
We need students and staff to both be responsible, but for the most part, showing people what those capabilities are and when it's appropriate to use. And then how do we design an assignment? If our goal is to check, can a student write a paragraph, right?
Yeah.
If we give them a computer and our unsupervised, we might get something back that we're not looking for. But there is right. that time where you go, okay, you got 7 minutes. You need to give me a 5-sentence paragraph. You got to write it on the piece of paper.
Old school.
Yeah, like there are ways to still assess sure. the pieces that we're looking yeah. to assess.
All right. What else is on your list?
Well, fall sports is going now.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I think, was the first day for a bulk of our sports. Football yep. did start about a week ago. Our boys' soccer, golf, yeah. cross country. We got a lot of places starting up and just moving forward. Volleyball started yesterday. There's an energy into the building that wasn't there a week ago.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
That is really what brings those buildings to life. Our maintenance staff has done a fantastic job getting things ready. But it's time to get students back into the buildings because okay. that's what we're here for.
Yeah. And speaking of staff and buildings, are you fully staffed across the district or you still have openings?
You know, right now we're in a really good spot.
Okay.
It's when we lose a person at this time of year that it gets incredibly difficult. So I was at a convention here two and a half weeks ago, and there are a lot of districts in the state that are in some pretty rough spots.
Yeah,
they have multiple places to fill, and they're not sure how they're going to do it. And they sometimes go to a staffing agency, and I think we're in a great spot. We might have an aide position open or a couple of things that it's not that they're not important, but we can right. cover for a little bit until that's filled. But for the most part, a bulk of our things are ready to go. We got some in-service again this week, kind of onboarding and making sure that everybody's up to par with what we're going to do and creating that vision and getting ready for the kids.
Yeah, awesome. You ready for the year?
I'm ready. Let's get rolling.
All right. Thanks, Mark, for joining me this morning.
Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today. Local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the radio station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back with more Hayward area information tomorrow morning. It's 8:29.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
We've got more with Pat Kreitlow coming up on the Buzz of the North as soon as Joel hits the right button. Joel here, Joel Carnick, Gray Gunderson. A good Thursday, Mr. Gunderson.
Happy, happy Thursday. Football starts today.
I am so excited for tomorrow because tomorrow morning's show, we're going to talk about a couple of football things I think that are going to be a lot of fun. But yeah, football starts tonight. The Eagles will blow out the Cowboys. I'll give you 20 points. I'll give you 20 on that.
You think so?
I think so.
Man, I don't know. I think the Cowboys, well, they've geared up in the wide receiver room. They've got a new head coach. It should be at least a matchup worthy of the spot for at least the first quarter. What All you right. get past Q2, we'll talk about that tomorrow.
We'll talk football tomorrow. Today, two segments. Segment number one is not going to be about dogs. Segment number two will not be about dogs. Okay, we're talking about cats and dogs is what I'm trying to say.
I was going to say, what is it, hot dogs and not dogs? Or what are you setting up here? Because
we're going to start out with the evil of the two twins. We're going to start out with the evil side, the cat. Okay, that might be a bit much.
I struggle. You know, like any other cat owner, Joel, you and I learned that cats are not what people say. And we probably learned that, well, maybe before we got cats. But I didn't grow up with cats, did you?
I grew up with barn cats because my mom did not want cats in the house.
So, but you at least were exposed to cats, and I was not. So I grew up with lies. I grew up with the lie that cats are, that there's nothing to love about a cat, and your cat will pick the friend of yours who hates them the most and love on them. And that one's true. But
if someone has allergies to cats and they walk into your house and you have a cat, that cat will go directly to that person who has
allergies.
But
there's reasons behind that, though. You know, like my first year living with my buddy Lou was a lot of learning. You know, I had to learn a whole new language of affection that dogs just don't usually touch on. Mm-hmm. And with a cat, it's all on their terms. It's not when you want it. It's when you both want it. And I think that's a lot more than people realize they're kind of grasping.
Yeah. Cats are definitely there for you to make them happy.
Yeah.
And dogs are kind of there because they want to make, it's the opposite. Dogs want to make you happy. Cats are just like, it's all about me. Dogs are kind of like, well, occasionally I'd like a belly rub, but hey, I'd do anything for you.
No. Dogs are pets. Cats, if you let them group up, they'd make a social movement. Like they'd get things done. Yeah, exactly. Like if they decided that they needed a house key, they might unionize about it. You know, like they could do that and focus and collect their efforts.
I'm imagining what the picket signs would say as they're picketing in front of your house.
Well, they'd all say meow, but there'd be flavors to it and various, there'd be nuance. But like, that's just it. Cats are a little more thoughtful. I don't know. Dogs are a bit more basic, I think. And I love them both.
And we have great humane societies around the area right here in Hayward that do a great job with our animals. But I've often wondered, because my mind wanders. I told you the other day, my wife and I, we took a little trip down to see my mom last week. And after we left, I told my wife, I said, what if we come back and my wallet and all my money are gone and so are the cat? So do we assume that someone stole both, or the cat took my money and the wallet and is gone?
Was this the beginning of the spinoff series, Heathcliff Hits the Town or something like that?
Yeah. But cats, I've often wondered what it would be like if we decided to domesticate a different animal. Let's say we let cats be wild. We just, way back when cats started to be domesticated, it was the rat or it was the ferret, who are kind of domesticated now. But what if it was a different animal? Would they have the same traits because that's just what we made them into?
You're asking the nature versus nurture question. Yeah. Like, are cats that way because they're that way or because we domesticated them and made them that way?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I'm not going to answer that question, but I'm going to theorize about animals that could act like cats that would be hilarious. Like, imagine horses acted like cats.
Oh, that would be...
Just picture a horse perched up on a high place. Like, how did you get up there?
Need a larger bed, too.
Yeah, call the fire department. There's a horse stuck in a tree again. Come on, man. They can get up there, but they can't get down. It's the hooves. You know, like, I love this world that we almost could live in there. But I think it's the nature of the cat. And I think you can tell that because big cats still act like little cats. Like lions, tigers, the big cat refuge places. There's one guy in particular, this muscly dude with short, frosted tip color hair, who does rescue work with big cats, and he does social media stuff. So you'll see a lot of videos like the cats that he hangs out with act like my buddy Lou, but with murder mittens. I mean, like with the whole, here's 2 inches of death attached to each little toe bean. But they act like cats. They all act like cats. So I think they are that way. I think people would probably, like, there's definitely creatures out there we could ruin though. Like pigeons. Pigeons in New York City, they're not wild. Like, pigeons, they're not wild. That's a domesticated creature, even though they just live outside.
But you look at something as simple as a chipmunk. I mean, a chipmunk, if you see a chipmunk for the first time, it's just going to run away from you. It's just going to get away from me. Danger, danger, danger. But when you have your house for a while and the chipmunk hangs around, now all of a sudden you turn the corner and the chipmunk is 2 feet away from you and it looks at you and it doesn't run away. It becomes used to you. So could you further domesticate a chipmunk? People probably have, I guess.
Squirrels. I know some squirrels can be pretty friendly. Yeah, rodents are generally one of the more flexible in that way. Man, I wasn't ready for this, Joel. You should have warned me on this question. I'd have come with an answer.
But, I mean, cats are, we all know, cats and dogs, completely different thing going on there. The cats, I've had a lot of cats in my life, and I don't have the link to cats emotionally that I do to a dog.
Oh.
I I mean, I've lost cats and I think, well, that cat was kind of cool, but the dog I've lost, I'm just like, you almost get a tear in your eye when you think about it. maybe that's just me.
I think so. And I think I'm different in a way that I consider myself quite lucky, which is that I grew up with a dog. His name was Blaze. We had him from when I was 5 until when I was about 17, and then we had to put Blaze down. But Blaze lived outside and didn't live in the house like many dogs will. So I was pro dog, but I didn't realize what living with one could be like.
Right.
And then
right.
I went 15 years after we put Blaze down, and it was last year we got Toby, and it's like, oh my gosh, in the interim I got a cat. So now I am head over heels for both.
Yeah.
Dead even, different ways. I'd die for either of them.
Psychologically, mentally, we'd be a lot worse than we already are if we didn't have dogs and cats.
Worse than this?
Well, I think it would be.
There's worse than this?
Hard to fathom. Pat Kreitlow is on the way in next. We'll talk dogs coming up later this hour. We covered cats quite a bit, but we'll talk about the dogs coming up. Pat Kreitlow, more news that you can use. More with Pat Kreitlow on the Buzz of the North here on a Thursday morning. Joel here and Gray. We're solving the world's domestic pet problem here this morning.
By adding to the ranks of domesticated animals, at least theoretically.
Yeah, I think we talked about exotic pets, didn't we, the other day? We were talking about...
Yes. Wisconsin is, I think there's like 2 states where you can just permit-free own a kangaroo. And I'm pretty sure we're on the list.
And I've never run into one.
Anytime you share a list exclusively with just yourself in Florida, I mean, it's not a good list, but that one's okay. You know, it's just us in Florida. Free kangaroo. Well, not free. This got out of hand quickly.
All right. We talked about cats. We stressed about cats earlier, literally stressed out about cats because they can stress you out. But we'll talk about dogs because to me anyway, and I thought this was maybe not universal, but a higher percentage than what I thought. But after talking to you earlier this hour about the emotional link that I have with dogs more than cats, maybe it's just my history of dogs. And we didn't always have a dog in the house, but we had a black lab growing up that was pretty close. When it was cold, he got to sleep in the porch, but he wasn't a house dog. But he was a highly trained dog, just an awesome. He was a type of dog where you say sit and stay. You could walk to the end of the driveway. You could go into town, come back. He would still be there when you get back, waiting for you to say, okay, now we go.
I think that says a lot, though. Of course, we're talking psychology here. And as they say, if the human brain were simple enough to understand, we'd be so simple that we couldn't. But yeah. All that nonsense aside, I think most people get along with dogs better. Full stop. I don't think we need a reason why. I think it's just that most people and their thought processes are more compatible with dogs who are a little bit. And I mean, if you want to say that differently in a way that might make more sense, I think it's because dogs are more like people. I think it's because dogs understand and care about us more than cats do, because a cat, even I've lived with my buddy Lou for 8 years now, and I'm still not sure he views me as more than the source of the food in the morning. Like, does he show me a lot of tender, loving physical? Yeah, he rubs his head all over me. It is adorable, and that looks like people love.
But probably doing it maybe just to scratch his own head.
If I stopped feeding him, I think he would stop loving me. So,
turn on you.
Whereas Toby, he'd be like, oh man, what did I do? What do I need to do to earn this back? You know, it's a different. And so I think I hesitate to simplify this much. I just think most people get along with dogs better because dogs get along with people better. And because there's a different direction, some people will always get along better with that other option, which in this case is cats. And there are third and fourth and fifth options. I think that between the two, dogs and cats, you've got most types of people could probably vibe with one or the other.
And I think the fact that dogs are more trainable than a cat.
100%.
I know those people listening right now are saying, I can train my cat to do this and that. But generally, if you work with a dog, you can make him or her do certain functions that provide entertainment, that maybe provide a false sense of loyalty or friendship. But the cat, most cats, beyond my cat will respond to a command when I go, it will stop. When it's walking around in the yard, it'll stop. But I'm not going to get the cat to roll over. We're not going to play fetch. We're not going to retrieve ducks from the water. That's just not what a cat does. It's instinctively what a dog does. But the dog has, I think, that trainable thing, and also can I have a purpose too, hunting dogs and stuff like that with a real purpose. The canine dogs, haven't seen a canine cat yet. Maybe they exist, but it's just a whole different thought process.
One of the things that I think bears mentioning is that you start with wild dogs in various places of the world, and from them you get domesticated canines. In most cases, we're familiar with many dogs that descend from wolf stock, but there's also, like our buddy Toby, he's from dingo stock over there. I mean, yes, there were wolf stock dogs bred with dingoes to create that stuff, but you get the idea. There's wild dogs were the beginning of all of them in one flavor or another. And if you look at a wolf and you look at an English bulldog, you can see that we've made a couple changes. You look at a cat, and you look at the Egyptian Mau, which I believe is one of the earlier links to the ancestors of earlier cats, and it's the same. I think that speaks to the basic characteristics of the animal. And I think, I mean, I am no psychologist, animal or otherwise. Don't even start me with people. But I feel comfortable saying that I think the dog psychology is, maybe as a product of that change over time, is just more moldable. I think the cat is clay already dried.
That's a great way. It's a sculpture that is already hardened.
Exactly. You found it, and it's not going to change.
Yep. And the dog is, you're right, adaptable. I mean, we have a dog at our house that we adopted. It came from Texas on a van, abandoned on the street, little pug dog, mostly blind. Has a little jacked up hip because he was a puppy mill dog.
You about to tell me he picked up a banjo and started singing the blues?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I mean, he was, when we got him, he didn't know how to eat out of a dish because he had already, he had pretty much always eaten either off the ground or in his kennel and wasn't domesticated at all. But just a sweetheart, has never bit or nipped or anything. But after about 6 months, he's good to go. He adjusted to everything. And he is just in love with just hanging around us. Yeah. Just happy guy.
And when I met Billy, like, it was so perfect because I didn't know he was coming that day. And I just, out of the corner of my eye, sitting there, I was still in sales at the time. And I just hear, I was like, what is
a pug?
And I look down and a bow-legged pug with cataracts is snorting on my foot. He's not sniffing me. He's snorting in my general area. And I thought, I love you. And also, hello, who are you? Like, it just immediately, I was like, I need to protect this thing.
And I just love that most dogs will just attach themselves to one or two things and just run with it. Toby loves his fetch toys. My little Billy loves his mama. And when she leaves, he's not happy. But he holds nothing back. You know what he loves, all right? I'm a Viking fan, but occasionally on a group of Packer fans, I'm not going to express that love toward my team too much. But a dog would. A dog would just say, go purple.
Yep. Say what you think. Done.
Yep. Speaking of that, tomorrow we're going to talk football. I've got something tomorrow that's going to blow your socks off tomorrow. Talking football.
Wait.
All right, more of Pack Brightlow and Up North News here on WBZH, the buzz of the North, and a good Thursday morning to you, viewers, 7:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. I'm talking with Adam Lamore, and he's probably more well known to be the executive director for the Sawyer County Lacouderie Economic Development Corporation, but he also has his own private businesses, and that is in the food trailer business, and it could also apply to the food truck business. And we're going to talk about what does it take to start a food truck or a food trailer business. So, Adam, tell me what you know.
So, there is a lot of interest right now in starting food trucks. I think living in Sawyer County, you see multiple different businesses popping up. And for people that are interested, The very first thing is just to get a Wisconsin tax ID. So you're a legitimate business and you can pay sales tax.
Sure.
And then,
plus, that's also used for other identification purposes.
Yeah. In order to, get into an event, most events are going to ask for that ID. Sure. And they report that to the state. So that's a very simple thing. You can go online and get that. The next step is to determine, well, what do you want to sell out of? A trailer, a truck, a tent, and find one to purchase, which there's a lot of ways to buy a trailer. You can have a made, you can look online, Craigslist, yeah. Facebook Marketplace. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing to do is to contact your county health inspector. So your county health inspectors, before you open, will come to your trailer and inspect it to make sure that you have the correct hand wash sink.
Okay.
And then you have to have 3 compartment sinks in there.
3 of them. Okay.
Yep. Wash, rinse, and sanitize.
Specific size, or just have those 3 separated?
3 separated. Okay. Yep. And then you get to basically decide what kind of license you want. There's 2 types of licenses. There's a mobile license and a transient license. The mobile license would allow you to set up and kind of sit on the side of the road, or I would say a non-event location,
okay,
for more than 3 days.
Yeah.
And if you have one of those, then you have to have a home base that gets inspected as well. The transient license allows you to utilize the event space as far as freshwater, gray water, dumping, and such like that.
Okay.
So you can basically choose which one fits your business model.
Okay.
And after you have those things squared away, now it comes down to strategic business planning and what products are you going to sell?
Yeah.
And where are you going to sell those products? And how are you going to get that trailer to those places? Do you need to hire people? All of those questions then follow after you have those, basically those things in place. And so really you have to look at, where can you sell those items? If you want to go festival route, like, can you get into the events? If you're starting out, they're going to want to know what product you're selling. And if there's that product there already, it's going to be a lot harder to get into that event.
Right. Yeah.
So your uniqueness will allow you to get into places and sell those items. And one of the cautions, because there is a lot of people going into this business, but there's a lot of people exiting this business as well.
Okay.
Because what happens is you work a full-time job, and then the weekend comes, and you start your next full-time job.
Right.
So, I mean, the hours are extremely long, and it's more than just the event. For me, it's fixing things that go wrong,
yep,
or calling someone,
yep,
because that trailer has electric, it has plumbing, it has all the things, you know, you're going to possibly need a welder at times. And so there's different things that you have to make sure are roadworthy and functional before you get to the event.
Yep.
Not to mention cleaning it, stocking it, and things of that nature. And then you have your prep and all that. But so we see some burnout if you are going to do a full-time job and then do that on the weekends. It can be a struggle for a while until you figure out exactly what your goals are and what do you want to achieve.
Now, there's some resources. I mean, we've been talking about your own concession business, Lamori Concessions, but under the Sawyer County LCO Economic Development Corporation, is there resources available to help somebody figure out how to get started in a business, regardless of what it is?
Right. With any business in Sawyer County, we currently are accepting anyone that wants help specifically starting a business, whether it's getting that tax ID, writing that business plan. All they have to do is contact the Economic Development Corporation, Sawyer County LCO Economic Development Corporation. That is a lot to say.
You should change the name of the company.
All abbreviations.
Yes.
So we have free technical assistance. So if anyone in our county is looking for resources, and specifically under this topic, I've helped a number of people.
Okay.
This topic is easy for me, but it doesn't matter what the topic is. And even if you're an existing business looking for some help, there is even help through the state for helping businesses with expansions. There's consultants that will come in and give free evaluations. So there's definitely help when it comes to technical assistance if we're contacted.
Sure. Yeah. So tools are available, resources are available just by contacting the Sawyer County Lacouturay or LCO Economic Development Corporation. And Adam from Lamore Concessions, thank you very much for coming in and talking about this subject.
All right. Well, thanks for having me. And I will say this, it can be very rewarding. Just be ready to work really hard.
Yes. As in any restaurant business.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the radio station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back with more Hayward area information tomorrow morning. It's 8:29.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.